Ever thought about taking up golf or perhaps curling, but you have a disability or you're visually impaired? Well, they are apparently are very accessible sports to get involved in. Today, we're going to hear from Jim Gales from Scottish Disability Golf and Curling. Tell us more about the sports, how you can get involved, and indeed some of the tournaments. It's going to be a very busy year. Jim, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Al. Thanks very much.
Let's talk sport then, Jim, and a little bit more about the golf and the curling, because these are, as I say, very accessible sports for anyone with a disability.
They are indeed, yeah. We've been running the golf for about 14 years now, and we've 3 or 4 years for the curling. Generally, we had the same disabled people who organised these events. We're all volunteers, so broadly speaking, during the summer months, what they are, we had them for the golf roughly between April and September, and then the curling took over, ran through over the winter. So what we thought of 18 months or so ago was to bring them both together, create a new charity, and that's starting to bear fruit now. The membership's going up, income dramatically is going up, thankfully. So we're able to organise more events throughout the year and provide training and tuition for new beginners and existing members.
Now, we've spoken, Jim, in the past about the golf, which has grown and grown. And from a disabled player's point of view, you know, you can play for fun, you can play in tournaments, you can travel the world if you want, playing in championships as well. Is that the same for curling? Perhaps not so popular here, but maybe in other countries?
Yeah, I mean, curling's massive in the likes of Canada and Sweden and places like that. You know, where Scotland, although we invented the game, we're miles behind, let's be honest. So we're trying to catch up and get as many people with disabilities, sight impairments, the whole spectrum involved in the game. And everything in the curling world for disabled people in Scotland, what we're doing is basing that on the golf. So for the golf, we do 3 or 4 days of golf per month. So that could be a single day and then a 3-day event, for example. We're doing exactly the same with the curling. Later this year, when the curling season begins properly, which is usually around about September, October, we'll be bringing everybody along to have tuition at one or two or maybe three venues, bring everybody together, get them some tuition, you know, get them to meet different people with different disabilities and different abilities as well out on the ice. And we'll do the same as that. And what we're going to do in the future is, again, like the golf, give everybody a small grant to go along to their coaching professional or golf teaching professional and get a series of lessons individually at their local rink, and then hopefully bring them on and take them out onto the golf course or the ice at various venues around the country and hopefully internationally eventually.
Fantastic. And in terms of playing the games, many of our listeners who are blind or partially sighted will be familiar with sports like goalball, which were created for people with visual impairments. But you play standard rules with just a couple of adjustments for both golf and curling, in fact.
Yeah, very, very minor adjustments. For example, at the golf, your sighted guide can then take the club head, put it behind the ball, for example, in a hazard, and that's not a penalty, where for somebody who had full sight, that would be a penalty if it touched the sand by accident. And that's roughly it for the golf. Obviously, the sighted guide's job on the golf course is to paint a picture of what's ahead, or the length of the hole, if there's any trees that manage to get in the way, or those dreaded bunkers, things like that, that tend to creep in on these venues. Something which I've experienced quite a lot, I have to say. We've actually just come back from our national championships down in Edinburgh 3 days, and I think I've seen more sand than grass. But that's my particular brand of golf, I have to say. And it's much the same with the curling. The big advantage with the curling on the ice is that it's a fixed length every time, obviously. The golf changes. You know, you could have a par 3, or a huge par 5 or whatever, but at the ice, it's a fixed length. So all you've got to do is have the touch. You don't need massive strength or anything like that. It comes down to the touch of how hard to push the stone up the ice to get it to stop in the correct area of the house, you know, the circles at the end. And again, obviously, you have a sighted guide who, if you're partially sighted, your guide would stand there with perhaps a torch, and they would put the torch on the centre line exactly where you need to be delivering the stone down the ice. If you have other mobility issues, for example, if your balance is not great, there's a little device that you can rest in your hand, your non-delivering hand, and lean against that as you deliver the stone so you don't slide. And obviously, everybody, whether fully able-bodied or disabled, has the the ice grip is, so you don't slip on the ice. You know, you've got a good grip and there's no slight slips or accidents or anything like that. And that gives you the stability to be able to play the game.
Okay, so very accessible for many players and many disabilities as well. Now, you mentioned the tournament. Tell me a bit more about that.
Yeah, we've just finished two. We sent the Canadians home after a curling competition, which was just at the end of the season there. Unfortunately, they took away the trophy this time, which was a bit of a disappointment.
Oh.
So we'll not be inviting them back so quickly next time. And the competition for the golf has just finished. That was in Edinburgh. We played two golf courses, three different rounds. The first one was at Babington Golf Course in Edinburgh, which is a great course. And the two rounds were at Silver Nows, which is the Edinburgh Leisure Group, which is the sort of the council group, and we played two there. And it was good this year because we've actually just crowned three new champions. You know, the old guards there, the new members are coming in, which is great. And there were three, first, second and third people were new to the game, in fact. They'd never been in won competitions before, so that was good to see.
Fantastic. And, you know, we're talking about these competitions, Jim, but there are many, many more throughout the year that players get involved in. You play teams from England, you play teams from Europe, you play all around the world, in fact. So the opportunity is there to play in these tournaments. And to be honest, you could pretty much play then all year round, whether it's the golf or the curling.
There is it's a frightening prospect, actually. When we started, basically, in the east of Scotland, you know, in 2003-04, with a couple of dozen people, local golf clubs in and around St Andrews. And since then, it's exploded, basically. You know, where there's something like 13 open championships around Europe alone. There's at least as many in the States and Australia and Asia and places like that. Funding is always an issue, but if you've got the funding, you can do the disabled golf tour. And now with the curling beginning to take off, you know, there's obviously less countries involved, but they have curling competitions for at least 6 months of the year now.
And just to remind people, you know, people can come along if they've never picked up a club or a curling stone, and they can get help to try this. You know, you don't expect them to be professional straight away, and many people just play for fun and for the social side of it. So what about the next big tournaments? What's next on the card?
We've got about 4 or 5 single days scattered around the country, right the way from Glasgow right through to Edinburgh up to Aberdeen. So there's lots of opportunities there for single day competitions if somebody wanted to come along. For example, it's quite good if somebody comes along who's never touched a club before or never curled before, because they've got no preconceptions of what's expected, what they can and can't do. We wouldn't put them in touch with a good teaching professional who can then sort of, you know, start with a clean sheet, if you like. Whereas somebody who has maybe touched a club before and they think, well, you know, I can do this, I can do that. But, you know, it just takes a few weeks away from any kind of sport and you lose the skill, the time and things like that. So it's good to start from afresh. So, yeah, anybody can come along and basically have a go at it.
Fantastic. Jim, we're almost out of time. So before we go, if people would like to find out more about the golf or the curling and getting involved, what's the best way to do that?
Certainly the best place to start is our website, the new website where the two sports merged into one. So everything's all together in one place. Social media, phone numbers, the works. And that's all the W's .scottishdgc.org.uk. And straight from there, they'll come through via email as well. So everything's there you could possibly need. A list of fixtures, previous winners, everything's there.
Jim, thanks very much for joining us. We'll keep track through the year on the different tournaments and so on. But for the moment, thanks for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Great stuff, Alan. Thanks very much.